on the 24th of June.
I thought it was one and a half.
Rabbi Chaim Rappaport, teaching Teretin on Jews, what are the parameters?
There are two statements in the Gemara in Talmud Bavli, one in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, and the other one in Masechet Chagiga, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, regarding the study of Torah by non-Jewish people. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Omer Rav Yochanan, Goyish Oisit Batayr Chayiv Misa, a Gentile who studies Torah, is culpable. Shenema Torah Tziva Lonu Moshe. The Gemara compares a Goy studying Torah to an act of theft. Torah belongs to the Jewish people. It is our property, our acquisition. And the Torah, the Gemara also compares it to an act of betrayal, adultery, because Al Tikri Mirosha and Amu'urah, so the Torah is betrothed to the Jewish people, and therefore Goyim have no business interfering, so to speak. That Chagiga, the Gemara says, besides the prohibition on the Goy, there is also a prohibition to teach Torah to Goy. Ein Meisrin Divri Torah Anachri, Shneem Aleofachin Chol Goy, Umish Potim Bal Yedo'um. Tosfos asks the question, why do we need a special din in the Gemara and the Chagiga to teach us that you're not allowed to teach Torah to Goyim? Goyim are not allowed to learn Torah, right? As the Gemara says in the Masechet Sanhedrin. Therefore, by teaching Torah to Goyim, we're over on Lifnei Iveil Lifnei Michshol. You're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of the blind, which is a commandment that clearly teaches us that we're not allowed to put stumbling block even before non-Jewish people. The Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, how do we know that a person who is Moshit Kois Yain Le Nozir or Eiver Min Hachai Le Ben Merach, if you give a limb torn off a living animal to a goy, you're over. So there is a prohibition. So if it's forbidden for the goy, Eiver Min Hachai is forbidden for the goy, automatically Ayid is over, and if Eiver is sitting Michshol, if he provides the goy with the Eiver Min Hachai, by the same token. If Limud HaTorah is forbidden for Goyim, and if a Yid comes in and teaches Torah to Goyim, so he is being over on the Neivah is sitting Michshol. So why do we need here a special Limud from the Osachim Lechol Goy? This goes without saying. So it's places that the circumstances are such where the Goy has access to Torah anyhow.
On the internet.
Could be on the internet, it could be Kol HaLoshen, could be anywhere. Right? So, nevertheless, so you'd say there's no Liknevel is Sitten Mishra, because Liknevel is Sitten Mishra is only the Kray Abra where the item of Isser is inaccessible to the Goy, where the Goy can get hold of it, Blavochi. So there's no Liknevel is Sitten Mishra. You've got a million people you can learn Torah from. Nevertheless, it's still awesome for you to teach him. Why? There's no Liknevel is Sitten Mishra, because there's a special thing. Besides the Isser on the Goy, there is also the Isser on the Yid to teach the Goy. So even though the Goy can find his Torah elsewhere, he can do his Isser elsewhere, we may not teach the Goy. This is an Isser upon us. A most endeavor Torah the Goy. So says Tosfos in Masechet Chagiga, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Yes. That hopefully we'll be speaking here. Now, of course, once upon a time, the application of this din in practice didn't involve much difficulty. Goyim, by and large, didn't want to learn Torah unless they were missionaries or engaged in disputations. Yes? And Jews were quite happy not to share Torah with Goyim. Nowadays, it is almost inevitable that every person in Samaitan B'chol Yoyim comes across this. You go to work, they ask you, what Tzitzis, Shabbos, Tzilin, Kashrus, why do you have to do this, why can't you do that? So you're immediately confronted with a shaila of giving a shiur to a goy. Similarly, if you make a bar mitzvah or another function, and a goy comes because he's a business partner or associate, and he hears the drosha, so whether it's in shul or in the hall, or whether it's a non-Jewish teacher coming to an assembly in school where the headmaster is telling the children about the weekly sedra, all of this involves Talmud Torah with goyim. So therefore, today it is important that we explore what exactly the parameters of this prohibition are, so from here we can know how to apply it in practice. Broadly speaking, and as much as time will allow me, I will say that there are two views. There is a view that suggests that the Isser is almost never relevant. This is a view put forward by Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, the author of Shaul's Teshuvah's 3-Day Ish, who confronted this not in a theoretical capacity, but when he was asked to become the head of Jewish studies in the University of Giessen. Naturally, there were non-Jewish people in attendance of his lectures, and he had to contend with the question of teaching Torah to God. So, he came up, amongst other things, with the following chiddush, based on the Rambam's formulation. In the Gemara in Sanhedrin, besides teaching Torah to goyim, the Gemara also mentions another issa, that it is forbidden for a goy to keep Shabbos, to make a Shabbos. When the Rambam quotes this halacha, he does so in Hilchos Malachim Perek Yud Halacha Tef, and for those of you who do have the advantage of the photocopied sheets, you can avail yourselves of these on page 2, number Yud Ches, that's the penultimate paragraph on page 2. Where the Rambam says, "Akum shosak b'Torah chayiv misa lo yasek ala b'shava mitzvah shalahem bilvad." A goy must only study the mitzvahs, the laws that pertain to his seven commandments. V'chein goy sheshavas apilu b'yom yimoysachol. Similarly, a goy keeps Shabbos, a Shabbos, even if he makes it in another day. Ima'aso ohulat make my Shabbos chayiv misa. V'ein sorich lo'emim osam moed la'atmo. The goy must make his own festival. The Rambam takes this from the particular to the general, from the specific to the overall. We do not allow non-Jewish people living under a Jewish theocracy to innovate their own laws or to make their own commandments of their own mind. Goy living in the Jewish sovereign state has a choice. He can either convert to Judaism and become a righteous convert, the Yekabel Kol HaMitzvot, and then he is obliged to fulfill all the commandments the Jews are, or Yamoid B'Tirosa, he sticks with his law, the law that applies to Goyim, V'lo Yosef, no addition, V'lo Yigra, no diminution. V'im Osak B'Torah Yishovah, so Chidesh Dovar, if he did any of these things, Machinoise, Renshinoise, Medinoise, Shechai Misa, that means B'Dei Shamayim, Alzeh, Aval Einei Nerak, says Rabbi Chiyo Yaakov Weinberg. The way the Rambam codifies this halacha, putting two Isurim together, Shabbos and Limud HaTorah, and then bringing them all under the banner of Chidush Das, Klol Yishol Dova Eim HaNichnes L'Chadish Das, we can infer from this that according to the Rambam, the whole Isur is where the Goy is learning Torah as a religious exercise. He wants to do this in the capacity of some sort of religion. So therefore he wants to be Limud HaTorah. If a goy wants to be Mechadish Das, that's not allowed. Goyim have got two choices. They can stick to the Noahide laws, or they can become Jewish. Any middle of the road faith is forbidden for them to innovate. They can do mitzvahs, the Rambam says, certain mitzvahs they can do optionally, but they cannot be Mechadish Das, they cannot create their own infrastructure, religious infrastructure, outside of the Shabbat system in Noach or Kol HaTorah. And the way the Rambam presents it, Shabbos and Limud HaTorah are but details of the principle of Chadish Das. They are examples, manifestations of the general principle. You mustn't be Chadish Das, therefore no Shabbos, no Limud HaTorah. So what happens if the guy wants to come and learn Torah in the university because he is intellectually curious and he wants to know about the history of the Jews or the Talmud of the Jews, etc., etc.? So in such circumstances, says the Sfarim, there's no Issa, because there's no Chiddush Das involved. So, in making this suggestion that the whole Issa is anchored in Chiddush Das, therefore the Issa becomes practically almost irrelevant. If the Goy, for example, asks, why can't you just throw the Shabbos in the bin? Why do you have to take it to the cemetery? and you give him an answer and you start explaining to him, because it says Lisaf and Tayyim Hashem Alekeichem, and there's an Isser of Mechikas Hashem and Kisri HaKodesh, etc., etc., you give him a shir in order to say that to pay it well, then essentially that's what you're doing. You're not teaching him a new religion, he's not trying to make a new religion. He is just a curious human being. He wants to know why these papers could go in a black bag and be taken away by the garbage collectors, and instead they have to be buried in a cemetery. So you're giving him an explanation just to assuage his natural curiosity. That is not included in the ban. This is what says who? The three days. Now, if we are looking at it just theoretically, I would suggest that the Rambam does lend itself to such an interpretation. I'm not saying it's by any chance, by any means, a logical imperative to understand the Rambam this way, but the Rambam does lend itself to this interpretation. But that is insufficient, because this is the Chiddush of the three days, and many other poskim have spoken about the Shaila, and none of them seem to understand the prohibition in the same way that the three days did. Let's just give one example, even from the Tosfos. In Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara says about how the Malchus Reini sent Goyim to study Torah, and the sages taught them Torah. And the Gemara asks, how could it be? Surely there's a prohibition. Tosfos asks, how could they have taught Torah to the Goyim? There's an Isser of any Moslem giving Torah and Ochrim. Tosfos says that it was Mitzad Tekuach Neposhet. They had no choice. Not as in a Yehori Glavia, right? So therefore, we see from this Tosfos his idea. The idea that it's only forbidden to teach them if they want to be mechadish das is not the case, because otherwise it would have been a simple answer. The rabbis were just satisfying the curiosity of the Roman goyim. Clearly, Tosfos understood that this is an issur, irrespective of the circumstances. One may not teach Torah to goyim; it's an absolute prohibition. So, therefore, since we're talking about a serious issur, the Amshel Shloima in his Pirush and Bava Kama there is very machmir about this issa. Zohar HaKodesh is very machmir about this issa. Therefore, we cannot just rely on the Svara of the Sri Deish and say there's no problem. So we must explore other avenues for a heter, if such a heter can be found. If it can't be found, then Yikrev Hadin as Hahar. So what I propose to do in the time that is still left my disposal to explore this thing and together with you is to look at what other heterim there may be that can be implemented in practice in the type of day-to-day situations that I painted at the beginning of my presentation this morning. Number one, of course, the first thing that comes to mind: what happens if a goy is going to convert to Judaism, is intending to convert to Judaism, is not yet Jewish, but is on the cards, a file has been opened in his honour, and he might even already be living with a family in Gold of Green. Is it permissible to teach him Torah? Currently he's a goy. So, what do people think here?
Yes.
Everyone says yes. Now, we're in good company, because the Maharshal also said so. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf and Amud Aleph, there was a goy who heard them learning Torah in a Beis HaMedrash, and they said, Veilag, Godim HaShiyasu Choshen, Ve'ifoid, Umeil. He heard about the priestly vestments worn by the Kohen Gadol, and he was particularly enamored with the idea of walking around with these garments. So he decided, you know what, I want to become a convert and become the Kohen Gadol. So he went to Hillel, went to Shammai, who told him where to get off, and then he went to Hillel, and Hillel said to him, okay, Hillel said to him, go and learn. So he learned. And then he comes across the prophet, which says, "Vahazor HaKorev Yumos." So he says, who's this stranger that deserves the death penalty if he does the Avodah of Beit HaMikdash? Could be anyone, even a Jewish king, even David Malach himself. So he says to himself, even Jews, born and bred of Jews, the most noble and royal of pedigree, incur the penalty of death for doing the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, how much more so someone like me, and of course he gave up his land, but became Jewish. He was Jewish. Says the Maharshal, how could Hillel have taught him Torah? Surely it's forbidden to teach Torah to a goy. And for the Maharshal, and again for those of you who do have the photocopied sheets, you will find this again on page 2, entry Yud Gimel, that's the second paragraph, penultimate line of that paragraph. Since he came to convert, that was enough to be matim limudatayu. As he zok the marsha in Maseches Shabbos. Once again, Rabbi Akiva Eiger in his tshuvas madivatames to memalas, and he says no. There's no raya from this gemara that just because he intends to convert, he allows to teach him Torah. He says maybe the gemara is talking about. Maybe the case was that Hillel actually converted him before he taught him Torah. And why did he convert him before he knew that this person would give up his ambitions of becoming the Kohen Gadol? The answer is because Hillel has a deep psychological insight, or possibly Ruach HaKodesh, and saw that he would be able to sort this guy out. But essentially, there's no proof on this Gemara because Hillel actually was Megaya the Goy, and only after his conversion did he teach him Torah. And therefore, in a practical case that was brought before Rabbi Akiva, he says, Ein b'koichi rahatir. I do not have the ability to be matir to teach Torah to Goyim. Even those Goyim who are standing for Geirus. Now, therefore, we have a machlokes between the Maharsha and the Akiva. The Moshe Feinstein and Igros Moshe paskins like the Maharsha for a number of reasons. There's not enough time to go into them, but he does paskin like the Maharsha, and I suppose this is largely based on his fact that the Bati Din who are involved in Geir do teach Torah indiscriminately to Goyim. Then of course there are practical concerns as well, because if the goy doesn't learn Torah, then very often you can't really know how he's going to react to it when he gets there, even if you inform him of the laws. But if he doesn't get exposure to limud Torah, he doesn't really get the real feel. And also I suppose there's a concern nowadays that if the person converts and only then learn Torah, maybe he'll not learn Torah before he converts, so you've got the opportunity to insist that he does it, because this is part of his obligation as a candidate for Geirus. Be that as it may, the Din, the Maisa, the Rabbonim or Mekel, and the Moshe Feinstein passing at the Mashal. But this is all for people who are standing for Geirus. What about for other Goyim? What are the Hetayim? So, someone suggested here, and maybe there's a difference between Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebalpeh. This is indeed the view of several Acharonim. Most prominently amongst them is the Ha'amik Dover of the Netziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, in his commentary on the Chumash, Parshas Ayikra, sorry, Sefer Ayikra, Parshas Achimais, Perek Yudches Pasuk Gimel, where he there establishes this difference between Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebalpeh. And he cites, in support of this distinction, the Gemara in Maseches Sota Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, where it says that when the Jewish people crossed the Jordan to go into Eretz Yisrael, the Torah had to be written on stones, and it is evident from the discussion in the Gemara there that the Torah writing on the stones was designed also for the Goyim, and indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the insight, the Shulchan Etirin Shulahan, they sent their copyists, their scribes, who took the Torah, who transcribed the Torah based on the writ that they discovered on the stone. So he says, we see from this Gemara that Torah Shebiksav is for Goyim as well. There are two problems with this. First of all, from Tosfos it's mashma, but even Torah Shebiksav comes under the prohibition, because Tosfos in the Gemara in Baruch Hu speaks specifically about Torah Shebikzav, implying that even Torah Shebikzav is forbidden. Similarly, and then another problem is that practically speaking, it doesn't really help, because in most situations you can't restrict yourself to Torah Shebikzav. Almost any discussion of Torah Shebikzav is going to entail Torah Shebalpeh. So whilst in theory it might be an interesting distinction, in practice, or if you wanted to make tailor-made shiurim for goyim, perhaps one could find lessons in Torah Shebalpeh, Torah Shebikzav, which are okay for goyim. But in practical cases, the types of scenarios that we discussed in advance, those situations, it's not going to help to teach in Torah Shebikzav. So we're back to square one. So what are we going to do now? Sheva mitzvahs tidhu is okay. Anything which is related to the seven mitzvahs. Now, what is the seven mitzvahs? It depends whether you take a minimalist or a maximalist approach. Seven mitzvahs really are seven umbrella commandments. For example, the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah really involves everything to do with Mitzias Hashem, Achdus Hashem, Hashkacha Pratis, because all of this, even according to those shittas that goyim are not mitzvah al hashittos, is definitely a desideratum that goyim should believe in God and believe in God the way we're supposed to understand Emunah b'Hashem. And therefore these types of things are of course permitted. Not only permitted, it's even a mitzvah for a goy to learn these things. Rabbi David Tzvi Hoffman in his Shaya Tshuva from Lamed L'Hoyol speaks about the case of a pre-Second World War German school where there were special classes for the Jewish children, and there was a non-Jewish boy who was somehow enrolled in this school, in these classes, and the teacher consulted Rabbi David Tzvi Hoffman to ask him what he should do. So among other things he says, you can teach him, for example, large sections of Sefer Devarim, which demonstrate God not only as the creator but the God of providence, God's ability, omnipotence, the fact that it's Kol Yochel, etc., etc., all the things which are relevant to God. So that of course ameliorates the prohibition to a degree. Then there is quite a broad heter, which seems to add up. This is given by Moshe Feinstein as well in a different shuva, where there was a case of a frum person who was going home to Pesach, where a member of his family who had married out was going to be at the seder, and he wanted to explain the Haggadah in English, give an explanatory seder service, and here there was going to be a goy there. So he asked the Moshe, is it permissible to teach Torah where the goy is going to obviously be learning? It's a psik ratio that is going to be there. Yeah, you can't avoid the limudat Torah to the goy. So you could get into a tilfel here that it's a davar shenim kavan because he's not intending to teach the goy, he's intending to teach the yidden, so therefore it's davar shenim kavan, even if it's psik ratio, maybe it's mutter if he says any drabonon, etc., etc. But the Moshe doesn't go down that route. He says quite simply, Chiddush, that ein moistrin divrei Torah la'akum means that you're not allowed to teach Torah to goyim. But there is no prohibition on teaching Torah to a yid, even if a goy is going to be present, and even if a goy is going to learn. We do not need to, for example, if there's some builders in the back garden here, block the windows and make sure that it's soundproof so that they shouldn't hear the words of Torah. The issue is on the serious Torah of goyim. It's not an issue of learning Torah in a way that a goy can hear. It's not an issue of facilitating a goy's learning. The issue is on you doing an act of mesiras divrei Torah. If your intention is to teach the Jewish people, and it is inevitable that a goy is going to pick up some words, whether it's on a radio program that you're broadcasting, or whether it is here and start the day the Torah way, and there's some builders outside, it is not offered to teach Torah to Eden, even if there's going to be some non-Jewish people listening there. That is not included in the prohibition of a Moshe to the Torah. What about the other Israel that Tosu says that there's also an Israel on the Goy, and if you're facilitating the Goy, it's Lifnei Evel is sitting Mishal. Lifnei Evel is sitting Mishal, the Torah means more, just because you want to teach Torah to Eden, you're not allowed to put a Mishal in front of the Goy. On that account, that's not there. This is not a Moshe in the Torah. There this is the Goy mustn't learn, and if you're allowing him to learn, then you're Lifnei Evel is sitting Mishal. Says Ramosha, for that, the goy has got the internet. In other words, it's not his neighbor, it's his mishal anyway, because he has his own access to Torah. He can go and buy an art scroll tomorrow, and he can learn it directly from the daf. So therefore there's no nifne even though it's his mishal. The only issue that remains is ein meister in divrei Torah l'machrim, and so long as your intention is to teach the Jew and not the Gentile, there is no issue of ein meister in divrei Torah l'machrim. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein in more than one tshuva. Incidentally, Rav Moshe, in a tshuva about English translations, which appears to me specifically written with his mind on art scroll, he says that there is b'chalal a problem with English translations of any sforim because of the fact that we are opening the doors for more going to learn Torah. Nonetheless, he once again he says that since that is not the intention, or I hope it's not the intention, to sell the Gemara's to goyim, so if they want to have access, they can have access anyway. There is no issur l'kneivah and sitim nichshol in publishing Torah in foreign languages. And by the way, he says that the Rambam, of course, wrote his most of his forum in Arabic, although one could question the why, because he wrote them in Hebrew script. He didn't write them in the Arabic alphabet, which is an interesting point. But anyway, that's the next matter. Now, the other final point which I want to add here is that there are many situations which don't fit into this, and that we are actually engaging in teaching Torah to goyim, which is not relevant to the seven mitzvahs, even in the broadest and most liberal application of the term, which is not addressed just to the Jews, but it's addressed to the goy. It's a private conversation at work, and it is also not in the category of Torah Shebiktav, etc. Nor is he becoming a convert. What is the heter here? Is there a heter? So yes, very briefly, there is one more heter which is important. It seems, based on the tshuva of Yad Eliyahu Simon Manches, who asks the obvious question that it's, we find in the Gemara and in the Medrash in many places that there were non-Jewish men, non-Jewish women, a Matruna or Matunisa, who consulted Chazal about various Nyonim in Torah, and they responded to them quite generously. These were not people who were intending to become Gerim, and they were not people who were intending to even Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara says the Goy asked him about how Kodesh Baruch Hu's Yoshev Mizadah Zerugim, explained about Kodesh Baruch Hu's Yoshev Mizadah Zerugim, all these sublime ideas. So what's this about? So the answer in brief is, this is what the Yad Eliyahu says, and many, many others have said this since then, that anything which is involved Mishum Eva, either to avoid animosity or in order to enhance the standing of the Jewish people, that there should not be a Chilul Hashem, or that there should be a Kiddush Hashem. So the function is not to teach Torah, but it is really an act of public relations, and therefore it doesn't come under the category of Ein Meister in Divrei Torah L'Nochem. And that is why Chazal did respond favorably to Goyim and did explain. By the same token, if you don't want to look like a Meshuggah, and you want the Goy to appreciate that there is rhyme and reason to what looks to him absolutely ridiculous, so you can explain to him, why are you wearing tzitzit? Because the fringes are a reminder we shouldn't forget ourselves in business, and we are called to remember God and His commandments. And by the same token, if I am asked to explain the Jewish view on, say, organ transplantation, it is my obligation, even if this is not particularly relevant to the Goyim, to explain why and what our view is, so that we should be able to hold the moral high ground and we should not come under persecution. Same as goes for Shechita or any other Jewish practice which must be defended in the public arena. I hope that these few and short words will provide some general guidelines and parameters for Magi Devor Liyatu Chukov Mishpat of Yisrael. Let us remember that this is clearly the most intimate union between God and the Jewish people is the study of Torah. Heriani Hamelech Hador, Yishakeni Neshikes Pihu, refer to Torah study. by dropping down the barriers and allowing an indiscriminate teaching of Torah to non-Jews, we are actually violating here a very serious issur, something which comes in between God and the Jewish people in our relationship, in our most personal and intimate union with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is through Limud HaTorah.